Rainmaker FM is brought to you by Digital Commerce Institute. Do you want to build the business of your dreams without squandering time and money, stumbling around to find the right path, or making unnecessary mistakes? The market is ready and waiting for you, but that doesn't mean it's gotten any easier. Digital Commerce Institute is here to change that. Go to rainmaker.fm/digital-commerce and get the training, education, and community you need to start building your digital business the right way. That's rainmaker.fm/digital-commerce.
Greetings, super friends. My name is Sonia Simone, and these are the confessions of a pink-haired marketer. For those of you who don't know me yet, I am a co-founder and the chief content officer for Rainmaker Digital. I'm also a champion of running your business and your life according to your own rules. As long as you don't lie and you don't hurt people, this podcast is your official pink permission slip to run your business or your career exactly the way you think you should. And it's time once again for Things I Love and Things I Hate. So, like a lot of people, I read a lot on the web about health, about fitness, and sometimes I buy information products. I buy things like health ebooks or workout plans, that kind of thing. And if you do the same, you have probably noticed that health and fitness is one of the most hotly contested spaces in marketing and advertising. And it is also one of the worst spaces on the web for misinformation, for shady tactics, and just downright sleaze. However, there are, in the midst of the sleaze, there are some folks who are really doing terrific things, and specifically who are taking a very strong content-driven approach. So today I'm going to talk about three different businesses, each of whom has something to teach about how they put their content together, how they do their marketing, and what their product mix looks like. And then once I talk about those, the good guys, I'm going to talk about a couple of tactics that truly do make me cringe when I see them. So I have three businesses that I'm going to talk about today, and all three of these people are people that I have come to know slightly through social media. So none of them yet is somebody, you know, I've had a chance to sit down and have a coffee with. It could totally happen. I would like to have coffee with any of these people, but I don't know any of them well. I know all of them slightly. Now, Josh did come to our live event last year, and I sure hope we see him again this year. But before we get to Josh, I want to start with a woman named Nia Shanks. And I will give you links to all of these folks in the show notes. You can find those anytime at pinkhairedmarketer.fm. So if you want to check any of these people out, just observe what they're doing. And they're also all people that I can vouch for the quality of their advice. So if you want to get some workout plans, that's fine too. So I'm going to start with Nia Shanks. I call her the storytelling strong woman. And she has a business called Lift Like a Girl. So Nia has a very strong presence on Facebook. And as a matter of fact, all three of these folks are very good with Facebook. Facebook is a particularly good way to reach an audience in health and fitness because health and fitness is the kind of thing people talk about on Facebook. They talk about their workouts. They talk about their diets. They talk about their, you know, they post their gym selfies, that kind of thing. So I call Nia the storytelling strong woman because she's really a living example of what she's teaching, which is, of course, you know, a very popular model, a very popular framework that people build content-based businesses around. So Nia is a female strength athlete, as you can figure out from the name of her business. And she has gone through her share of both, you know, triumphs with strength and with fitness, and then difficult times. So fitness, weight management, the mental game, all that good stuff. Now, when I started following Nia, women who were interested in serious strength work were still somewhat unusual. So now, with the popularity of CrossFit, the trends have somewhat caught up with her. But of course, a big part of her content strategy is still regularly addressing misperceptions. Things like people who think that, you know, if a woman touches a barbell, she's going to get huge, or that regular strength work is going to make a woman, quote unquote, bulky. And like a lot of strong content marketers, Nia has a really impressive volume of very solid how-to content, both free and paid. Her business model includes ebooks, which she calls guides, and then she has online courses, which she calls programs. And they're around the topics that you would expect, things like strength workouts and nutrition and fat loss. One of the things that you can see around Nia is that she has really pulled a tribe together who resonates with her, with her experience, her background, and then how she presents herself today. And that gives her some other opportunities that can be interesting. So, for example, people who follow her on Facebook from time to time will get the opportunity to buy stuff with the Lift Like a Girl brand. And I bought a Lift Like a Girl sweatshirt, which I like to wear to the gym when I'm doing really heavy deadlifts. And again, I'll give you a sample post from her site just so you can see, you know, her voice, how she approaches things, and how she kind of structures and organizes her marketing presence. So are there a lot of people with very similar business models and site structures? Yeah, absolutely. And the thing that makes it work is there's one Nia, right? You know, she is an individual. She has a unique voice. She has a unique perspective. And there are dozens, at this point, there are dozens of other people's products and ebooks and guides and programs you could buy that would be very complimentary. So she is definitely in a kind of a what they call a co-opetition space, where she is one player in this emerging trend of women's strength athletes and just in an emerging trend of how she approaches her business and kind of the attitude she brings to it. So the second person I'm going to talk about also has a business that is really built on him as the brand, and his name is Josh Hillis. So of the three I'm going to talk about, Josh is the one that I know a little more than the others because he's friends with all kinds of people that I know. So he's friends with my wonderful, beloved strength trainer, a woman who Pavel Tsatsouline once called a mutant, and I'll give you a video to show you why that is. Again, pinkhairedmarketer.com. And he has a connection with my friend Jen Wok, who has a site called Keyboard Athletes that I think is a really nice site. And he has a connection with a totally unrelated friend of mine named Michelle Burmaster, who has a project called Body Positive Fitness Alliance. I'll give you the link to that. So this might seem like a weird coincidence, but it's not, because Josh is friends with everybody. And that is a clue to his success. So when I first started following his content, Josh used to do a lot of celebrity workouts. So he would do things like posts about what Scarlett Johansson is doing to look so amazing in the Marvel movies, that kind of thing. And he did a great job on these. They were fun content. They were interesting content. They were always presented in sort of a fun and an entertaining way. He also had a good nose for really entertaining content angles. And the one I will never forget is he wrote about the workouts that, you know, he would go to his local gym, which also happened to be where the professional dancers were working out from the strip club that was located nearby. And so he did an article about, well, what kind of workouts do professional strippers do? It was just, you know, it was memorable, put it that way. So lately, Josh's content strategy, his approach has been maybe focusing a little bit. He's zeroed in on habits as a way to shape his story, as an underlying theme in his content. He wrote a book called Fat Loss Happens on a Monday, and that lays out a very habit-based plan. It's a good book. It's a very strong book. So I think that Josh has a couple of things he can teach people as a marketer. So first, I really think he does a great job looking for those engaging content angles, like that exotic dancer story. That is a memorable piece of content. Another thing I think is very strong about him is he's really relentless in staying on top of his topic. So he's always learning. He's always growing. He's always refining. He goes back all the time and says, well, you know, I said this a year ago, and I think it's right, but I think it could be a little clearer or a little more comprehensive or a little more helpful. And here's the version I'm using today. And he shares all of that with his audience. But the number one tip I have for you from the way that this marketer conducts himself is he is seriously the nicest guy just around. He is always positive, always very kind, always encouraging about everything. He's a very kind kind of a tone, and that really stands out when you contrast it with some of the, you know, abusive or virtually abusive stuff that we see around in the fitness industry, things that are based on shaming people and making them feel horrible to try to motivate change. And the kind of encouraging voice that Josh is sharing is really magnetic. It really pulls people toward him when people are in the middle of working on something that is difficult and emotionally challenging, like managing their weight. So my, you know, alliterative title for Josh is the compassionate coach. He's there to help you through the rough spots. He's there to give you as much encouragement and love and high fives as you need to get where you want to go. And as I mentioned earlier, one of the side effects of that is he has a really impressive network. Everybody knows him, and everybody who knows him loves him. So that's led him to co-write a book with Dan John. Now, if you know the strength space, Dan is a really impressive name to have as your co-author. And he has a lot of other alliances with people who have really good audiences, quality players in that space. So Josh's business model, that's another thing, is he is pretty adventurous about his business model, and he's not afraid to try different things. Right now, he does work one-on-one as a trainer, you know, just as traditional trainers do, but he also does small group training programs online. So it's kind of a hybrid face-to-face and online business. And I know that he also is putting some projects together with, again, people with high-quality information and high-quality audiences and putting together projects with them. He's always working on something with somebody because, you know, he's so easy to work with, and he really does do a good job staying on top of the topic so that the advice he gives is solid. So that leads us to the next business. So my alliteration title for them is the Rigorous Researcher, and it's a website called examine.com. So Nia and Josh are both examples of content-based businesses that are really connected to a personality. You subscribe to their stuff or you buy their stuff because you feel a connection to them, human to human. Examine.com is not really so much built around connecting with a single individual. It's more about establishing authority for a team and even for a process. So the Rigorous Researcher, here's how Examine.com describes themselves. Examine.com is an independent encyclopedia on supplementation and nutrition. We are not affiliated in any way with any supplement company, and we have a team of health professionals analyzing the full body of research. We currently have over 41,000 references to scientific research. End of quote. And by the way, again, just as a personal recommendation, if you ever want to look up some fitness supplement, you know, you read something on a blog and it's supposed to be the key to getting super skinny and youthful and healthy, look it up on examine.com. They have a really serious team of researchers, registered dietitians, and MDs, and the team knows how to read the scientific studies and tell you what the evidence actually looks like for just about any supplement you can think of. So they don't just look at one study and say, hey, this study shows that, you know, eating arsenic is good for you. They really dig into the weight of the evidence. They look at all the different studies. They look at how they were conducted, all that stuff that I don't really have the training to be able to do. And I also don't have access to the databases. They do offer a lot of free content. They also have a premium content model. They have a couple of different options, paid content options for different customer types. The one that I think is their really point of differentiation is they have a detailed monthly research digest. And again, it really digs deep into the research behind science reporting on nutrition and then synthesizes it for people who don't necessarily have a major science background. You know, so their clients include a lot of fitness professionals, a lot of nutritionists, but even, you know, MDs or registered dietitians or people, you know, who spend a really, really long time in school to learn how to take care of people could totally benefit from subscribing to the Digest, because it's taking the cutting edge of the science and just reporting on it in a way that's has a very scientific bent, a very rigorous bent. Okay, so for you and me, you know, most of us are not going to have the resources or even the know-how to put together that large a team of experts in a field. So that makes this a trickier play than that straight personality-based approach. You just need a larger team, you need more resources, but there are elements of this approach that a lot of us can work with. I want you to think about the possibility of offering reliable information in a highly unreliable environment. So, you know, what one of the things examine.com does for their customers is they sift through the extreme mass of disinformation. And, you know, you may realize science reporting right now is in pretty terrible shape. And then they explain how they come by those conclusions. So they talk to you about, you know, well, what are, you know, what are we looking for when we're analyzing these different studies? So I'm sharing these three with you, not only because I just think they're nifty businesses, and I think that if you're interested in health, they would be a good choice for you to follow. But more to the point, I want you to look for some of the elements in every one of these businesses that you could start to apply to your own projects. So, you know, it could be making sure that you're always sharing a lot of positivity and kindness when you're in the online public sphere, or even, you know, of course, also when you're face-to-face at events. That will start to get you a killer network like Josh Hillis has, as well as attracting clients or customers who want that positivity in their own lives. This is a really powerful kind of a secret weapon, and anybody can choose to pick it up and start using it. You could look at Nia's example and share your own story. So share the triumphs and the challenges. And that's not the same thing as whining or complaining or griping, but it's being honest about the parts that are difficult and have been difficult for you so that you can share solutions. Very, very powerful. Nia does a really good job at that. Nia is also a good role model for catching trends. So, you know, the trend that she her business is built on is women who are interested in serious strength work. It's a niche of a niche. And she happened to come in on that trend when it was still emerging, and it's only growing stronger. Josh actually has also done that for a different trend. So he always taught habits, you know, because habits-based change is a good way to get people to create positive change. But when habits, you know, capitalized in quotes, started to get a lot of traction with popular books, websites, you know, motivational speakers, TED Talks, Josh followed that lead and he brought that one element of his work more front and center. So there may be something you're doing today that you can make more of and make it more of a recurring theme in your work that, again, will be very aligned with the general environment. And you can also always make a commitment to doing some in-depth research the way that examine.com does. Now, you might not have a team of more than a dozen researchers with advanced degrees, but you can always approach any research that you do with rigor and with integrity. So that kind of leads me into the next part. Because this is things I love / things I hate, I'm kind of obligated to provide the hate part here as well, which I always feel a bit sheepish about. So I'm not going to name names. And I think that in general, I'm not going to get into naming names for this section of the podcast, primarily because getting into fights on the internet is not a really awesome use of anybody's time. But also, I think it's more important to talk about tactics and crummy tactics than it is to sling mud around and you know, say bad things about people. So there are two tactics that I really loathe in marketing, and they are super prevalent in fitness. One of them is just outright disinformation, also known as lying. And the other one is what is sometimes called negging. and I'll talk about what both of those are. So we all know what lies are. We all know what disinformation is. I found, especially lately, disinformation really comes in two flavors, the honest kind and the dishonest kind. So honest disinformation, frankly, is really the state of a lot of science reporting right now. You have a lot of bloggers. You also have a lot of working journalists, including those for some of the newspapers that, you know, we think of as authoritative names. And these writers do not have good scientific literacy, and they report on studies without really being able to evaluate them. They really don't know how to read a study, and they don't know how to look up the other studies that have been done to get a more comprehensive picture. In fact, I did a whole podcast on internet facts, and I mentioned a study. It was deliberately set out to be like a terrible study, to be a low-quality, bad study that really showed nothing, showing that chocolate helped people lose weight. And the guy promoted the study and published it and then, did some good PR on it precisely to show how easy it is for just really terrible quality information that doesn't make sense to gain very, very widespread reporting. So the honest disinformation that just, you know, people who don't have the skill set to really look critically at scientific studies is enough of a problem. But then, of course, we have intentional disinformation. We have people who lie. And there is a fair amount of that as well. You know, anybody who writes a nutrition book, you need an angle, right? You cannot go out and publish a nutrition book that says, well, you know, you should eat in moderation and calories are really important and being active is important as well. I mean, nobody's going to buy that, right? You have to have an angle. And ideally, you want a counterintuitive angle. Book publishing is always looking for these counterintuitive big ideas. So maybe next year somebody's going to come out with a nutrition book about, you know, how water is bad for you. I'm surprised we haven't seen it yet. Now, you'll notice if you are a fan of these books or an unfan of these books, they're all packed with scientific citations. A lot of times they'll have 20, 40 pages of citations of scientific research. And the way they make this work is they quote studies that are weak. Sometimes they quote studies that have been faked. There is some of that. And a lot of times they quote studies that don't support the conclusion of the book. So, you know, they cite the study because the study mentioned water, but the conclusion of the study is not that water is bad for you, and yet there it is in their footnotes. And some of these writers have been known to tell their research assistants, just find me a study that mentions water. I'm not that worried about it. If they're not supporting my conclusion, that's fine. Just find me the study so I can make the citation. So not everybody who writes these books is a liar. Some of them are just so biased by their own confirmation bias or their own preconceptions that they literally cannot take in evidence that contradicts their theory. But here's the takeaway that I think matters for people in any kind of a content marketing space, writers, marketers, business owners, people who work on marketing teams, all those kind of folks, freelancers. If you're creating content, you're a teacher. We are teachers. And we have a responsibility to think critically about our topics. We have a responsibility to stay open to evidence that contradicts our biases. We have a responsibility to stay open to inconvenient evidence. And I'm going to tell you straight up, the oversimplified explanations make for easier marketing because simple messages are easier to swallow. And anytime you just omit the whole part of the argument that disagrees with you, you make it a simpler, cleaner message. But to me, that is truly a form of malpractice. And this is not just about health and fitness. It's about any kind of content that has an educational role, which is a lot of it. So I think it's just critical to tell the truth. And I think it's critical to tell ourselves the truth as a foundation of ethical communication. Now, real world, sometimes the story is complex, sometimes the story is nuanced, and you have to lead with something straightforward to get the conversation rolling. And I have no problem with that, actually. I have no problem with starting with something simple, easy to understand, easy to grasp, what I really like to see, what I try and do in my work, what I really respect when I see it in somebody else's work, is to keep going and give people the rounded picture. And, you know, it is work. It's harder to create that more well-rounded picture, to give people a more true, more nuanced picture than it is to just repeat the same simple thing over and over again. But I have found that once people have that more comprehensive picture, just from my experience and from my observation, that has a tendency to coalesce into a tribe that can have some real loyalty and that will really stick around for the long haul. Because people who go for the simple, simple half-truth, they tend to bounce around. They bounce from this miracle solution to that miracle solution, and they tend not to stick around. Just as, I don't know, it's my general observation. And I want to wrap this up by mentioning a term called negging. This is a term from the quote-unquote pickup artist people. And what it means is putting somebody down in order to be able to manipulate them. This is very much related to gaslighting, which is another crummy thing to do to another person. So a guy in a bar who puts down, insults a very pretty woman by insulting her looks is negging. You know, if he's doing it with the intention of trying to get into a relationship with her by making her feel bad about herself. And it's weird, but it does work sometimes. And if you think about, you know, again, fitness is really, really prone to this. All this content that's cruel, abusive, shaming, just hateful. So if somebody can make us feel like we're nothing, then we may start to look for some salvation and our, you know, unethical marketer is there to provide the solution. So this can make for some very effective marketing and very effective advertising. You know, when you put people into a space of self-hatred, it does make them easier to manipulate. What it is really crummy at, though, is producing effective, healthy, and long-lasting change. So I don't care if we're talking about health or business or parenting or whatever the topic is. People who hate themselves make bad decisions. So since I call this part of the segment Things I Hate, I can go ahead and just, you know, not sugarcoat this. Do not come to me with lies. Do not come to me with shaming and put downs and then tell me, well, they work. I don't care if they work. I have no use for them. I have no use for marketers who use those kind of techniques. If your business is not on the planet to help your fellow human beings, then just please go somewhere else. Do not buy from me. Do not read my stuff. Do not listen to this podcast. I have no time and no patience for that. You got one shot to live this life as a human being. So please do not screw it up by chasing short-term success at the expense of, you know, who you are as a person. All right, thus endeth the rant. I guess I really put it right in the intro, really. You know, don't lie and don't hurt people. They're not good. They're not good things to do. All right, that's it. That's this week's Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer. Let me know if you have sites that have used some of these techniques and you want to share them with us in the comments. Pinkhairedmarketer.fm is the place that you do that. I always love to hear from you. Always love to hear what you have to say. I'm also very open if you want to ask a question that will be answered in a future podcast. I think that's always cool and fun. And if you would like, you can find me at Sonia Simone on Twitter. So that's it for this week. Things I love and things I hate. Thank you guys for your patience, and I will see you next week. Take care.